Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Retrofitting and sustainability are the future of construction. Visit sullis.ie/greenskills to find your course.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1.
Earlier this year, the Irish Medical Organisation told an Oireachtas committee that an estimated 1,600 GPs will be needed by 2028. And for months now, we've heard how the shortage of GPs is affecting different areas around the country. Many people are having difficulty getting to see their busy GP. Others just can't find a GP to register with. So could the prospect of online or video consultations be one way to help ease that crisis? Well, I'm joined on the line from Donegal by Dr. Dennis McCauley, who's a GP and chairperson of the GP subcommittee of the IMO. And in the studio, I'm joined by Dr. Nina Burns, who's a GP at Generation Health Medical Clinics. And you're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us. Dennis, I'll come to you first, because during COVID, many of us adapted, didn't we, to online or phone consultations with doctors. Now that we're in this phase, how often are you seeing patients remotely?
Oh, not very rarely, really. Now we're back to full face-to-face consultations, Claire. I think the important thing, general practice is probably the only part of the health services which is actually working, and the best model for that is face-to-face consultations. And one of the primary things that does is it actually ensures continuity of care, which is really, really important. The doctor is the actual consult with the doctor is really important. There's the doctor knows the patient, they trust them, they have an actual rapport. So that is the ideal. So the issue is now, are we going to have a system which has a less ideal service on offer, or should we just try and improve the service that we presently have?
Okay, so what you're saying then is remote consultations are less ideal.
They are less ideal. They're not as, we know they're less ideal. We know that they are not as safe as a normal consultation. I think that the safety has been recognised. I think the UK Care Quality Commission came out in 2018 and said that almost half of the primary care providers of telephone consultations weren't safe. You don't examine a patient, which is one of the most important things. You don't see the visual cues that you would have when you're having a face to face consultation. Mm-hmm. Also that, and as a result of that, then there's more inappropriate antibiotics, because you don't know if this person has a respiratory infection, has an upper respiratory infection, or has an actual pneumonia. You don't know that you don't really know if that chest pain is really important or not. So you will refer to casualties. You'll get much more inappropriate prescriptions, much more referral to casualties. And I think that telemedicine probably works in the point of view when you know your own GP and they know you, and they sort of have a knowledge of you, and we use it as sort of follow up. If somebody with chronic disease management, I've seen somebody, I'll ring them the following week. But all the information and all the work has been done on the face to face consultation.
Yeah, you've done that already, or you know the patient well. Nina, what's your own take on it? Do you think it has a place, or do you just agree with Dennis, who just doesn't seem to like it very much at all?
So I pretty much agree with everything Dennis is saying, but I am a huge advocate of digital health, and I do think digital health has a massive place in healthcare, and that will increase over time. But I absolutely agree with Dennis that the best placed person to provide digital health to a patient is their own GP. We've had a lot of studies done on remote consultations in the last couple of years because they exploded during COVID. They went back and looked at them. They did a big review in Australia. There was a review in England, and they've published those reviews. And I suppose the jury is out a little bit on as regards prescriptions. There are some studies say they increase antibiotic prescriptions. One or two others said they reduce. I think the fact that they were done in COVID needs to be looked at, because antibiotic prescriptions in general went down during COVID because we were dealing with a viral illness. So we weren't really prescribing antibiotics. So I think, you know, GPs are really well placed to talk about this. And I'm so glad you've two GPs on the line today. We're way advanced in digital health. We had, you know, digital records long before hospitals were even looking at using them. So we are in general pro-technology in healthcare. But what we're also extremely pro is safety in healthcare. And I think for any patient looking today or listening today, what they need to think about is, am I accessing a doctor, or am I accessing quality of care with a doctor? And the jury is very much out on the quality of care. And exactly as Dennis said, the safety issue, the nuances of consultation, particularly for psychiatric consultations, it might seem obvious if you don't have to physically examine someone that it would work remotely, but that's not necessarily the case. And we see a lot of patients who've been attending counsellors online finding the same thing. They don't like the interaction digitally. So I think if anyone's looking at getting a consultation with a doctor, please don't just say, can I do it easily? Can I do it from home? Can I get a doctor? Can I get a prescription? Because that doesn't always mean you're getting the best care. And what we want is best care for people.
Yeah, you see, the problem is, and I know this varies across the country, but there are lots of people who can't get access to a face-to-face GP appointment at the moment because of the pressures on GP care. And this might be the only option that they have, Lena.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you. There's a huge stress on access to care. I mean, we're very lucky in our practice in Monk's Ten, it's newer. We still have same-day access to care, but I know that's extremely rare across GP. But what I would say to someone is the solution is not to send our consultations online, often with doctors who are not even in the country. The solution is for our government to step up and improve services, improve access to GP. We need more GPs and we need more quality of care. And if we keep finding other solutions, I think we're taking the onus off government to step up and provide the care that people deserve.
Mm-hmm. Dennis, just when it comes to the face-to-face consultation versus talking to somebody on the phone, I mean, somebody might come to you and say, I have a pain in my elbow, but actually they're going to be there for a completely different reason that they won't want to talk about until they have your eyeballs.
Oh, I agree. Most of the time, the most important part of the consultation is the last sentence in that consultation, which then brings out numerous times yesterday there was one or two items that a patient came in to, but the really important item was the last item that they will actually bring in to that. And that's when they feel comfortable, when they feel that they have an actual rapport with the doctor, that they feel comfortable to actually do that, whether it's a psychological problem, a psychosexual problem. All of those things will always come up more at the end, and I think that's what is missed completely with telemedicine. And I agree completely with everything that Nina said. The one thing I will say is that the group that wants digital health most are more the actual corporate general practice. I think that it has been known. I think there was a view in the Irish College recently, and they were commenting from a healthcare business group that sort of felt that there isn't enough profit in actual traditional consultations, that it is in digital primary care where they see the profits. Now, they're chasing profits rather than quality of care, and I think we have to be very careful. We are talking about telemedicine. Why is this on the agenda? It's on the agenda for a couple of reasons. There is a capacity issue in general practice. There is a huge demand, and there isn't the actual capacity to actually service that. That potentially could get worse as SláintecaRé is actually brought out. SláintecaRé is a government decision. I won't comment on that, but how it is implemented is very important. Giving a free access to GP care to an awful lot more people without the capacity to actually handle that extra workload which will follow. Well, actually, it's almost like a race to the bottom. We're trying to be the general practice in the UK as quickly as we can, and we know that didn't end well. So just the other thing is just the actual the corporatization of general practice. It's much cheaper and it gives a better profit if you can have a centralized system giving telemedicine to a group, whereas general practice, who are independent practitioners, as well as want to make a profit. I want to make a profit, but I also want to give the best care that I can, and that is through face-to-face consultation.
Can we talk a little bit about what's happening in general practice and why 25% of the country's GPs now are over 60, and there doesn't seem to be the numbers coming in to replace them? What's going on?
Well, so we are training more GPs than ever, but unfortunately we're exporting them because they're treated better abroad. So they go through the training scheme, and we have a really, really high quality of general practice training in Ireland. I've worked all over the world, and I can safely say to you, I think Irish GPs are the best I've come across. But they're recognised abroad. They love them in Australia, New Zealand, Canada. They offer them fantastic working conditions, very good salaries, and they don't have to deal with a health system that is collapsing. So they're going abroad. So we have lots of Irish GPs around the world who would probably happily come back, and in the same as we have with consultants across the world, who would come back if their working conditions were good. And GPs run a very good system. We are our own practitioners, our own bosses to a certain extent, but we are contracted to the HSE. So what I find really frustrating is the care that I can provide for private patients is often better than the care I can provide for public. Not because at our end we're doing anything different, but because of access to services, waiting lists, etc. But that's now getting worse in private care. So what we need is an overhaul of our health system. And it comes back, it's the same conversation, whatever area of health we're discussing, it's staffing. There's no point building shiny hospitals, opening new health centres if we don't have the staff to staff them. So we need to get our doctors back in Ireland with proper working conditions, proper salaries and a system that functions. And I feel sad when I qualified as a doctor, you know, if there was a consultant position or a GP job, people were lining up to apply for that. It's just not happening anymore. And we need to go back and say why. And it's because of working conditions. And we can provide excellent healthcare. Irish doctors, I've said it time and again, they're some of the best trained in the world. We need them here, not abroad.
What's the day like for a GP?
Like, I go in, I start work at 8 most mornings. I'm in there before 8 and I often don't log off until after 8, half 8 in the evening. So by the time you go in, you see patients, you then follow up phone calls, follow up tasks, follow up results. And we have problems now with labs who are short-staffed, not getting results back to us in a timely manner. So it's taken 2-3 weeks for bloods to come back where they should have taken a couple of days. So we're dealing with a system that is imploding. And, you know, we have people who really want to provide quality of care. And it is so frustrating when you can't do what you know you should be able to do because the system is against you in many ways.
OK, is the system against you, Dennis, do you feel?
I agree totally with Nina. I probably start at 8:30 because Donegal doesn't get up until after 8. But the thing is that I would agree.
You get in trouble for saying that.
I think everybody in Donegal agrees. I think that I think one of the systems that we're dealing with is that just very, very quickly, general practice went into reverse for the last 10, 15 years because of cuts that the government gave. I think that, like Nina, I work a very long day. I finished around 7:30, 8. The issues we have, quite a lot of the work we're doing is trying to get people into hospitals, trying to get people seen quickly, trying to get, so I'd say 10-15% of my day is extra work associated with trying to manoeuvre people through the cross-border scheme, trying to write another urgent letter on top of another urgent letter, ringing people, trying to get them in. It's very frustrating. And I think I worry that general practice, we did get our FEMPI, these cuts reversed. I thought things were going to go well. I think we were going to be able to encourage people back. We were going to try and get younger GPs to think about staying in Ireland. But I think now, just as I mentioned, and I won't labour it, but I think the expansion of free GP care when it isn't resourced and it isn't planned is going to have a huge detrimental effect on everybody.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there, but it's fascinating to talk to you both. Thank you for joining us, Dennis McCauley and Nina Burns, both GPs. Let's go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.